It's a family affair on a new episode of Shoot the J podcast. Keep it locked right here.
Getting rebounds like Charles Barkley, snatching it down.
Shoot the J. Shoot it!
He was getting rebounds like Charles Barkley, snatching it down.
Shoot the J. Shoot it!
He was getting rebounds like Charles Barkley, snatching it down.
Shoot the J.
Thanks for joining us, everybody. Like I said prior to, this is a family affair. Welcome to another episode of Shoot the J podcast with your host, John Jenkins. Listen, I got a very special guest. My younger brother's in the building, Daquan Jenkins. Listen, he thinks he's Max Kellerman, Shannon Sharp, basically all the people who don't be knowing what they talk about when it comes to sports. So he's here.
All right, that's respectful. Don't you dare put me in the same sentence as a LeBron sexual like Shannon Sharp.
Wait a minute. You're right. You're not a Bronny. You're not a part of the Bron Hive. I apologize. Because, yeah, Shannon Sharp, he's different. But this family's a Knicks family, so we bleed orange and blue. But listen, Knicks not in our rally right now, so we're not going to be tempted. Let me get straight into it. Cavs down 0-2. They get clapped against the Celtics 2 games in a row. I think it's time for them to start panicking. I honestly do. LeBron James hasn't been down 0-2 in the East in 10 years since 2008.
Specific.
So I think it's time for them to start panicking. I don't care if you were down 3-1, 3-0. The Warriors are a different team. Now, LeBron James, with the help and air quotation marks that he was getting, helped him get over that hurdle. I don't know who's helping him get over that hurdle this time, even though Kevin Love
well,
22-15 tonight.
Well, I'll tell you this much. They really missing that guy over there in green.
Oh yeah. They're missing him a lot.
They really missing that guy because I tell you this, Kevin Love could have 24-12, but Kyrie is at least, if he's just as angry as LeBron from losing games, he's trying to average at least 30. So they're really missing that guy. But he's not playing on the other team, so I can't really say anything. Well, I'll tell you this much, who I am going to give the credit to. I'm going to give this credit to Brad Stevens. Because I think he's very underrated as a coach because he had no Coach of the Year votes from his own peers. And I feel like people are underrated, even though, yes, the athletes do what they're supposed to do. The athletes plays the game. But there's something different about coaches that can see the game from the sidelines, that can pinpoint everything that a player is supposed to do, every position, knowing that, okay, you're supposed to be there, you're supposed to be there. You know, you got to give these coaches some type of credit.
So what you're saying is we're just gonna say it's all Brad Stevens. We're just gonna give him all the benefits.
It's not getting Brad Stevens is not getting all the credit, but Brad Stevens needs some type of credit. He already not getting credit from the coaches in the league by not getting no votes. So now you're gonna take away what he's doing for his team?
I think Brad Stevens is a genius. He is the next up and coming after when Greg Popovich decides to call it a career. You know, we always analyze great players, great GMs, things like that. We need great coaches. And
yeah, you do.
After Greg Popovich is Steve Kerr, and then it's Brad Stevens. And the list is deep after that. Like you can
is that after that, I don't know.
What adjustments do you feel like Brad Stevens is making that Tyronn Lue isn't? Because I've always said this, Brad Stevens, he makes in-game adjustments. He'll run different sets. He'll sub the right players out. All Tyronn Lue does for adjustments is change the starting lineup. That's all he does.
He think he's Steve Kerr. That's the thing. He think he has Andre Iguodala over there. That's the problem. I'm very in Tyronn Lue. I'm very disappointed because you heard the news about Kyrie. I think they was talking about this on First Take that Tyronn Lue told Kyrie something about Kyrie said that he wanted to start getting players more involved, and Tyronn Lue said that's LeBron's job.
That sounds like very Ty Lue-ish.
And it hit me like, this is why point guard, that's not just because he wanted to leave. This is why point guards get treated how they, you see how George Hill's playing? George Hill's a facilitator. He's not no spot-up shooter. Right. He wants to facilitate the ball as a point guard. He's a point guard, pass point guard first. He's not a, all right, let me pass the ball and run off the screens. He's not that type of player. So
that makes you a good guard when you can play on and off the ball. But the
he's more a defender.
But that's what I'm saying. The only knock to LeBron's game, he's an ideal player. If it was between him and another player on the court right now, I would pick LeBron. Not over MJ, but I would pick LeBron. The only knock on his game is he's too ball dominant.
I would take Jordan and Kobe over LeBron. That's just me.
Oh, whoa. That's another story. Listen, man. My listeners.
That's the problem with you. Y'all keep going right back. My son Allen Iverson, the answer said it. Y'all just keep going over Kobe, but it's okay. I'm gonna let it go.
I will have you on later for GOAT talk. This GOAT talk is after the playoffs. That's what we're talking about.
All right.
This is NBA playoff basketball. Keep it simple. Keep it simple, right?
You're right. It's just basketball does this to me.
I'm gonna have a bunch of people on during GOAT talk because I can't wait for that conversation.
Oh God! But, don't do that to yourself. Don't do that to these people.
So to finish off for the Cavs Celtics. So LeBron James with another Herculean performance, a 40-point triple double. Now, if you were to tell me before this game started that LeBron James was going to get a 40-point triple double, I would have said, "Oh,
I could have told you that." I don't know who that means. See, this is why I say I know more sports than you. You must not watch this man enough.
No.
I've watched him so much times do this.
Don't get me wrong. I put the Facebook post up. I said LeBron is going to be in his bag this game. He's coming for blood.
So I give you that.
But what I'm saying is if he put up numbers like that, I'm automatically going to assume that the Cavaliers would be in position to win that game.
Is that the Raptors?
Oh, he killed the Raptors, but after those losses to the Pacers, he did the same thing too.
That's a different team. That team, first of all, in the Indiana Pacers series, they did have it and they gave it away. This Boston team is not Indiana. And it's because Indiana was young and Boston's young, but Boston has a coach. Well, we're not going to go back to that. But Indiana's young to me. Indiana's not ready yet. It was Victor Oladipo's first time. The Raptors, ever since I've hated DeMar DeRozan since last year. And ever since he went in that press conference room and said, if we had LeBron on our team, we would have won too. He's done. He gave his soul to LeBron. And that's why they did that. He gave his soul to LeBron. That's what I meant to say. Gave his soul to LeBron. Because if you felt like you couldn't, I said one game. Y'all didn't even have to win the series. One game.
They didn't sweat bags. Shannon Sharpe didn't come with all the excuses about the 40-point triple double, everything that he's done.
Hey, look, I like this first segment that we have. It was a great conversation. We're going to come back and talk about the Houston Rockets and the Warriors. See about that series. Keep it tuned in to Shoot the J podcast.
All right, we're back. In case you missed it, we're talking about NBA playoffs. Little brother has joined the cast for today. Max Kellerman, Skip Bayless, Daquan Jenkins. Those are some of his
Skip Bayless know what he talking about.
But
he know what he talk about Dwight Howard.
Oh boy, here you go. Listen, we're keeping it strictly playoffs. So we had a chance to watch Warriors Rockets, basically the NBA Finals that we all wanted. It's probably going to be the most competitive series.
No,
but But what the heck happened to the Rockets? The fucking I'm not sure what reality TV show is, but what you're not going to do is try and beat the Warriors at their own game. You can't out three the Warriors. It's not happening.
Oh, it seems like you read my status on Facebook, sir.
Now you're on Facebook. I had no idea.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, that's what I told you. And I told you that when you was talking about, oh, yeah, they're going to beat them when they was facing Utah. And we was doing all this talking. And
Oh, no. I still have the Rockets winning because I have.
Oh, okay. You and Vernon, right?
I have that much faith in them.
Oh, God.
But as far as it being easy, oh, it's not going to be easy. That game one scared me. I can't even lie. It scared me a lot.
Let me tell you how much faith I have in the Rockets. LeBron has a better chance of coming from 3-0 down against the Celtics than the Rockets have of beating the Warriors.
Put some respect on the Rockets' name.
Listen, the only respect they get from me is if they do what they're supposed to do, which is what they're not going to do. It's sad to say. I know you want them to win. I love Chris Paul. I want Chris Paul to win too, because there's this stupid narrative that Chris Paul chokes in the playoffs. How are you choking the playoffs when you have a 6'10", Mr. I like the jump shot now, I don't want to go in the paint anymore guy who either gets injured, either doesn't come through in a game when he's supposed to, either, come on, he chokes. And he had Blake Griffin. So how is Chris Paul? So that's the only thing that I would like to see, but they're not going to do that. So again, Chris Paul's going to take the blame for that. James Harden's already choked in the playoffs.
I don't know. First off, James Harden was balling.
He's the MVP. He's choked.
Yes, he is MVP. He didn't choke this game though. He was hooping, but I just think the Warriors are just—it's just too much, man. KD made it look easy that game, man. Made it look easy. How the hell are these Houston Rockets gonna beat the Warriors?
Your Houston Rockets is trying to out three a 3-point shooter team. This is going to happen every time. The Rockets were built, as Daryl Morey said, to beat the Warriors. But in what way? What way did he say he was going to beat the Warriors?
At their own game. He's going to beat them at their own game.
What?
He's going to beat them at their own game.
And how is he going to do that against two of the greatest shooters? That's why the Cavs. The Cavs thought, instead of going to the game, that the reason why they won that 3-1 down was because they attacked the Warriors. They attacked them in the paint. They killed them in the paint. LeBron was getting what he wanted. Kyrie getting in the paint. That's how you have to beat the Warriors. You cannot beat the Warriors by trying to outshoot the Warriors. Can I tell you, the four that you miss, I'm going to tell you, they'll make eight. So you can't outshoot them. And that's what James Harden, and another thing about James Harden is he does too much. You got to start having that quick move, that go-to move that you can go to and go. Because you're doing all this dribbling, tiring yourself out, and then who you sticking? You trying to stick Klay Thompson, who runs around all day, and then you got to play offense? No. So you got to find quicker move so he won't be as tired or fatigued on the other end. But I think that's the biggest reason they lost, because the defense.
He was doing a lot of dribbling, but nobody could stop. He was going right past Steph. He was going past most of them. Who's when they did?
But was he after what? 16 dribbles, John? We already know this. You don't do that. You find a go-to move, 2, 1, 2, 3, boom. You don't need all those moves for Steph Curry. You saw that.
He drove right past him. That was their plan. Dribble penetration. If defense
attack Steph Curry. But how are you going to do that every time? Steph Curry can actually steal the ball now. Let's not act like the man doesn't get steals. After a while, you keep attacking him, he's going to get a steal off you, which is what ended up happening. Kept attacking him, and he started stealing the ball from James Harden. They wasn't going to keep giving James Harden the foul.
I mean,
that's really where James Harden falls at.
He's not stripping anybody. Most of his steals come from the pass.
But he's you can't keep attacking him and thinking that after a while, oh, yeah, the refs are not going to keep calling foul, bro. Refs are not going to keep calling foul for him. So after a while, you're going to have to play through it. And they know that. In the playoffs, this is why James Harden, to me, always loses in the playoffs. Because in the regular season, he's getting 2,000 free throws a damn year. But in the playoffs, they hold their whistles. I saw you talk about you didn't like the referee in that game.
The officiating was terrible in that game one. It was very bad.
But it's the playoffs. It's the playoffs.
No, you can't.
Same officiating in the playoffs as you do in the regular season.
It's not that they weren't calling fouls, because they were calling fouls.
James Harden had 42 fouls for a reason.
One, they were calling fouls incorrectly. They called a shooting
of course.
Foul. A shooting foul behind the 3-point line. They said it was a two. Then they did another foul behind the three.
That was the Kevin Durant shot.
And then they missed a pivotal backcourt violation on the Warriors, where the Rockets were down by 7. If they would have got the turnover, it would have.
Well, who touched the ball?
On the next play, Klay Thompson hits the three. I said, as soon as that three went in, I said, game. The Rockets didn't have a chance.
All right. So you're saying, so that one play where your team did break the lead in halftime and led by 3. So what happened from that last spurt in the last 2 minutes, which got the Houston Rockets back in the game, from that 2-minute spurt to a almost 10-2 run for the Warriors?
They were exactly, because they were on the run. They were already scoring. They were in that spurt.
No, the Houston Rockets went into halftime with the momentum at home.
Oh no. They didn't. I don't think they went into with momentum.
He got when James Harden got that steal and dunked the ball. It was about 10 seconds left. 10 seconds left. Y'all, the Houston Rockets had the momentum in going into the locker room.
I only say they didn't have the momentum because they came out so sharp in the first quarter that the fact that it was tied it would make me feel like, Jesus Christ, like we're playing our best basketball and the game is tied.
No, y'all wasn't, because what did Chris Paul do? And I love Chris Paul, but Chris Paul didn't play Chris Paul. Chris Paul was shooting a lot.
Chris Paul
started
Chris Paul right with 3 points. Chris Paul,
second quarter?
Chris Paul and James Harden combined for 64 points. So that's good.
All right, so did you hear this stat? There's a stat that says that the Warriors are to last in isolation ball.
They are.
Third to last. First in passing, basically. That means they get assists off most of their points. And the Houston Rockets are first in isolation. Y'all tried to play them one-on-one. So now you play right into what they wanted to do, and that's what made the Rockets start losing. Because then James Harden started, all right, I'm going to just ISO. Chris Paul, all right, I'm going to ISO. So Trevor Ariza, I'm ISO.
But also, but it led to the dribble penetration that they needed. It was allowing them to break down the defense, sometimes score, sometimes get other people involved. But towards the latter part of the game, that the ISO ball did kill them. It was just – it was asinine, because that was their go-to. It was just ISO, 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 ISO. They doubled the amount of ISO plays that they averaged in the regular season. So I already knew it was slow.
You're absolutely right. I'll give you this. If anything, the Houston Rockets need freaking Eric Gordon to not play like he was with the Clippers. That's what I will give them that. Gordon had a horrible game. So that's why I said the Houston Rockets really didn't give their best shot, because everybody had a bad game. Their sixth man had a bad game. So let's say game two, James Chris Paul and Eric Gordon combined for, I'll say the same, 64 points. Because that's the three, that's 20 points plus, 20 points each. Let's say they average that between three of them. You think that's going to beat the Warriors?
I mean, it'll help. But if two people getting 64 points is not going to help, three people doing it not going to help.
I mean, if it's balanced out, if it's, oh, if let's say Eric Gordon's getting to the free throw line as much as James and Chris Paul. Because Eric Gordon has shown he can get to the line.
He can.
So I'll give them that. But for, but to me, this is not going to be the series of the year that everybody believes it's going to be. I believe it's not going to go to a game seven. I believe if you deflate the Rockets enough, they will fold. So James Harden has shown that. So if James
– he has. James has If he commits it, then it's gonna be slow for James Harden. I think Mike D'Antoni has to make the adjustments where it comes to getting Joe Johnson in the game in the rotations.
Coaches with that either. Why do y'all get certain players to sit them there? Like I don't get that sometimes. That's stupid to me.
Yeah, I guess the Joe Johnson and other players are just for decoration. So. But players like P.J. Tucker, all those guys are going to have to step up defensively because Kevin Durant was having his
– now listen. Stop thinking things that – how are you going to stop him? I want you to tell me that.
There's no way. My best bet was saying – I was like, their best way to probably make it difficult for Kevin Durant is to bump him off his spots, play physical with him. The way Chris Paul was playing physical with him in the beginning – was working. And then after that, Kevin Durant got hip. He was like, okay, you're going to keep trying to get me off my moves? All right, let me get deeper in the paint. Let me get to the elbow. I'm going to shoot right over you.
Houston was switching like, I don't get it. Y'all, the Houston Rockets switched everything.
They were
all Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr said at least four straight plays called Durant's number. For the same play. Post him up, push him down, Draymond passes it to Kevin Durant, spin, shoot, shot. Like, he did that four straight times. And I'm like, this is why I'm talking about D'Antoni just sitting there like, okay, I see Trevor Ariza on him once. Why is Trevor Ariza on Steph Curry right now?
Well, Trevor, one, they switch a lot. Two, Trevor Ariza would come down when they were running transition and get him. But they running that pick and switch every time.
I can't see this going to game seven. I'm sorry. I can't see this going to game seven.
I know. It's going to be Rockets in six. That's why it's not going to seven.
It's not going to seven. I got you got what in six?
Rockets in six. That's why it's not going to seven.
See, and this is why the MV. Oh, boy. You're going to see. I told you. I wrote it on Facebook, and I'm going to share you all over Facebook. When I put it up again after game five.
Listen. He's the MVP for a reason. He's going to lead his team to.
For the regular season.
It's going to be his
regular season. Regular season has nothing to do with the playoffs.
It's going to be his second time in the NBA Finals. You will see. He's going to put it.
Kevin Durant, I know.
I know the Warriors have all five Infinity Stones right now. They're just missing one, and that'll be another championship. But right now, James Harden. The Hampton Five. The Hampton Five have five Infinity Stones. I need James Harden and the Rockets to be the Avengers and stop them immediately.
Don't you dare. No, spoiler alert. We know how the movie ends.
Exactly. I'm talking about the part two. No dissolving.
Look, we dive deeper into the game two, Rockets Warriors, the juggernauts of the West. I'll get further into that when we get back. This is Shoot the J Podcast. Thanks for coming back. This is Shoot the J Podcast. Listen, I don't know what it was about last night, but I really enjoyed that Rockets-Warriors game. The Rockets came to play. They came to play. I was nervous. I was like, man, you can't out three the Warriors. You can't out three the Warriors. That's their game, man. You can't beat them at their own game. And the Rockets said, watch this. Hold my drink. Watch this. James Harden, he's proven why he's MVP. Finalist came out the other day. It's between him, Anthony Davis, and LeBron James. So I can agree with that trio. But James Harden has shown why the gap isn't even close. He's going to win the MVP. He's going to lead the Rockets past the Warriors. Like, those are my bold predictions. Man, were the Rockets on fire yesterday. And it's crazy because, as you heard in the earlier segment, you know, I was talking with my brother and I was just like, man, James Harden and Chris Paul just got to wake up. And he said, if you were listening, he said, Eric Gordon has to show up. I said, since when does a sixth man dictate what's going on with the team? I'm like, it's good to have bench depth. It's good to have someone you can go to when your starters rest. But we both know, like, both teams each have depth, and they both have a team where they can sustain a lead. Like, a second unit won't get, like, the Warriors' second unit, they're better than most teams starting five, so they can get a lead if they were down. But nine times out of ten, they're not down. And we were talking, and I was like, man, Eric Gordon don't have nothing to do with this. And James Harden and Chris Paul have to do their thing. P.J. Tucker and Trevor Ariza have to strap up on defense. Clint Capella has to be able to switch on defense and be able to guard guards. So I was like, man, that's what they have to do. He was like, nope. He was very adamant. Eric Gordon has to play his best game, not like when he was with the Clippers. And I guess Raven was sent to the Toyota Center because Eric Gordon was on his game. He was blicking threes like something crazy. He finishes with game high 27. Also, James Harden also dropped 27. But I was really surprised because he's been slumping in this game, shooting less than 30% from the field. Like, it's been rough for EG, the reigning sixth man of the year. It's been rough for him. But for him to show up and show out the way he did, it was great. Chris Paul only had, I think he only had like 10 points, but still, it was a great team effort. All starters in double figures for the Rockets. So with that, it was just, you know, Klay had a tough game. Klay didn't even get double digits. And if you looked at the box score, KD, man, shooting over 55%, knocking down the three ball from mid-range, free throw line. He's different, like, just so different. And for him to score so efficiently and just give the Warriors multiple opportunities, because in that first half, I was just like, man, the game is still close. And the third quarter's coming up, and we all know what the Warriors do to teams in the third quarter. So that was the quarter I was looking forward to seeing if the Rockets had enough to slow them down at least. Because every third quarter that the Warriors play, that's when they put the smackdown on anybody they're playing. Anybody. It's just crazy. Every time. No type of like, oh, okay, like, I'm sure a team's going to halftime saying, we're going to do this, let's stick to it. And the Warriors probably just like, screw what you talking about. We about to get these buckets, and y'all are about to go into a deep deficit. So with that, I commend the Rockets for keeping it close, being able to resist the onslaught that is the Warriors. James Harden had a hell of a game. Chris Paul, I don't know what it is. I think he's really holding on to that time Steph Curry made him fall, because he's dropping Steph Curry like crazy. And we all know about Steph Curry's ankles. Like, Chris Paul, can you not do that? Can you just shake him, make him fall some other way? Like, he's breaking his ankles religiously. I'm just like, nah, I'm nervous for the Warrior fans, because no one likes a team when their players get hurt in the playoffs. Like I want to play a full team. I want to play a fully healthy team. And the way Chris Paul is breaking Steph Curry's ankles, and he's had ankle problems before, it's making me nervous. So, I don't know. I'm just crazy just even thinking about it. But, I mean, Steph Curry really wasn't struggling this game, but only knocked down 1-3. Splash Brothers weren't very consistent. Their game didn't reflect their game one. You know, KD had the monster game. He always has a monster game. Shows why he's the most efficient and why he's so creative player-like. Because the game just comes to him effortlessly, like real easy, taking advantage of his mismatches. So I like that the Rockets were able to, like I said, withstand that third quarter, went up as much as 29, and making it a series again, because I was honestly nervous. If the Warriors were to make this a 2-0 lead, it would just... it probably would have been a gentleman's sweep. I mean, it could still be a gentleman's sweep, but... I mean, I think the Rockets have enough momentum from winning this game to be able to play on the road and get a win. They're not the number one seed. They're the number one seed for a reason. And... just... I'm trying to explain the art of, you know, not having to defer from what you were doing. Like we were all ready to throw in the towel and say, man, the Rockets got to switch it up. They have to slow down. They have to play through the paint. They have to do this. They have to do that. And the Rockets just stuck to their guns, stuck to their game, and they flourished. Now, will the Warriors be cold at home again? I doubt that. I doubt that's going to happen. I highly doubt that the Warriors are going to be cold at home. But if the Rockets come in shooting the way that they did in game two, oh, they'll be fine. They'll be fine. We talk about, you know, the depth of the team, and I haven't been impressed with the Warriors bench this postseason. Maybe I'm missing something. I mean, I've been watching the games. I'm just not as impressed. Like, we've always said, you know, how deep they are and how they have interchangeable parts that, you know, no matter who's on the floor, some, you know, things don't go well. I don't see that this postseason. That's why I think the Rockets are built to make it a problem. You know, they have the pieces of, you know, Gerald Green, Luke Mahamute, who was bumming it up in that first quarter. I mean, if I had to give out a title for trash, Mahamute was bumming it up, missing layups. I mean, he was doing his part on defense, but I don't know. Gerald Green came in, instant spurt, playing both sides, scoring, strapping up. EG came in just with a whole lot of confidence. He exuded a different confidence in his game that the Rockets needed. So Chris Paul continued to get players involved. That's what helped them. Continue getting players involved. Continue playing defense on Steph Curry, because I don't know what the formula is right now, but they have Steph Curry struggling, and it's working. It's working for now. It's working for them. But yeah, the Rockets just found their groove, found their niche. So to be up, to have this series tied at one, you know, Warriors still home court advantage. Now they have to go and do the same thing. I'm convinced this will be an epic series. Definitely will be over in seven. Have the Rockets winning in six, because I thought they would take both games at home. But I still have them winning the series. Rockets will be in the NBA Finals. Quote it. Take it down. It's going to happen. So Rockets in the Finals. We wait till Saturday to see the Celtics-Cavs game. I think, you know, the Cavs will find a way to take it home. But as of right now, just focusing on Rockets-Cavs, I'm impressed with how the Rockets were able to keep the game close, then start pulling away in the third and fourth quarter. I thought that was pretty dope. Let's talk about these weird stats that have been coming up. One, who is the person paid to count how many dribbles a player has? 500 dribbles? Like, that person either is really bored or they really want to raise. I'm like, hey man, I'm gonna count how many times James Harden dribbled today. I'm gonna compare it against the times Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and KD dribbled. I'll just be like, wait, what? Why is this useful? I don't get it. Like, you can keep that stat, keep it in your back pocket. I don't really need it. But thanks though. So I don't know whoever was in charge of doing that. Kudos to you. Congrats. They say all heroes don't wear capes, and I guess you would technically be a hero in some form or fashion. I don't know. But yeah, I'm just, you know, I'm looking forward to this game three. James, I'm looking for, you know, that backcourt to continue playing well, continue being sharp. Cause the Warriors, they're used to this. And like, all right, like, we lost one on the road. Okay, cool, but we stole one. So they have the team where it's like, all right, whatever. Come do that in our hometown. Come do that with us. And with that, since they've gotten Kevin Durant, I think they've lost two games in total in the playoffs. So it'll be three now, because they were fifth. They were, I believe, they finished the series 16-1. So they lost one to the Spurs, lost one to the Rockets. So they are coasting since they got him. So we'll see if the Rockets have the team to, you know, slow that down, make it possible to, you know, get more buckets, because the Rockets, Game of Thrones said it best. Rockets are really half the defense, double the offense right now. But it worked for them in game two. We'll see if there are any adjustments that need to be made. But, you know, James Harden just has to keep that same gusto on the road. You know, we've seen him in the playoffs on the road in tough situations. It just doesn't go well. So we need him to get it together, make it work, make sure he's sharp. He's been very careful with the ball recently, so that works in the Rockets' favor. But when you got Chris Paul at the helm, he's also being very careful. So that'll be key. Watching, you know, those two ball dominant point guards and shooting guard, if they can take care of the ball and limit the, you know, the transition break, I mean transition points by the Warriors, if they can limit the extra opportunities that the Warriors get. Because the Rockets played fantastic transition defense yesterday. I saw a body on every person. Every time Steph Curry was on a break, body. Every time Kevin Durant was on a break, body. Clay, they would find the open man. Bodies everywhere. So Rockets have to duplicate that same energy, that same gusto that they had in this game that led them to the win, and replay it for game three. So go back, watch film, do what you do. I'm liking the coaching battle as well. So should be a good series. Should be a great series. But you know, keeping it simple. Rockets, Warriors. So when we get back, we're gonna dive into the NBA draft. Mother's Day was recently, so we're also gonna have, you know, a special little segment for the moms out there. So keep it locked. Stay tuned. This is Shoot the J Podcast.
I'll make sure to get you a new phone for Christmas, because your reception is terrible.
It's your mother's house.
But yeah, I'm glad my little brother was on the show today. He did an okay job. I'll let you guys grade it. But
great job.
But Mother's Day was this week. It was early Sunday. So happy Mother's Day to all those out there who got a chance to celebrate. Look, tell me one of your favorite sports moments, including your mother.
What?
Tell me a sports moment that you really liked that had your mom around.
You was kind of around all of them. So why? What, you know what? Fine.
Yeah, she was everywhere. She was at all the games, being mad loud.
It's too much to remember. Of course, my favorite would be my first point that I ever made, my first basket when I was 6 years old. And I did the jump shot. She recorded it. But y'all got it stuck. And y'all didn't catch my shot. But you know what? It's fine. And you did it twice.
Okay, okay. Yeah, I don't know. I'd probably say my favorite time was when she had to end up coaching because Coach Dennis was late to the game. So she had to coach. I thought that was pretty dope because...
Well, you got a lot of play time that day.
No, that's funny because I didn't play that much. So I guess my mother didn't respect me. But...
been playing around. You should have did your homework that day.
That's... Maybe it should have. She was pretty dope. Made sure we got to all our games. She made sure our teammates got to the games. So, you know, just...
Yeah, we would have lost a lot of games if we didn't have mom.
That's
because we only had four players. And we'd be like, yo, we got to get to the game. And mommy would come and, hey, we're here. We only got five players and we got to play a whole game. Five players. They subbed the two in. And we over there, okay.
We gassed, but we still got it done though.
Still got it
Mother's,
done.
Mother's Day it's only one day on the calendar, but it's every day. So you know, we just want to let her know we appreciate her for everything she's done. Don't go anywhere. I got another segment coming up after this, but just want to thank my little bro. He's very insightful. We will have him back on during GOAT Talk. Because he was very, very inclined to tell me about his goats. So we would get on that another time. But make sure you guys keep it locked here on Shoot the J Podcast.
So recently we saw the NBA draft lottery. Suns get the number one pick. So shout out to the Knicks for winning all those games. Good idea. But I'm just going to go from the perspective of in the NBA, I always stick to this. The NBA always drafts for need over best talent, i.e. that's why players like Greg Oden go before Kevin Durant. That's why players like Sam Bowie go before Michael Jordan. That's why you miss out on players like Donovan Mitchell, Kyle Kuzma, you know, because NBA is very strict on need. So the job that I have now, I work with this company where we focus like in on EuroLeague. So a lot of people are trying to figure out, oh, this kid Luka Doncic, oh, this kid Luka Doncic. The kid is a real deal. He's pretty good. Would I say he's number one pick worthy? No. But like, you know, if you're watching, they have the coach that they have used to coach Luka Doncic when he was a little bit younger. So he's 19 now. Basically a more polished Ricky Rubio, plays for Real Madrid. They're in the EuroLeague playoffs right now. That's why I get to see, you know, so much of him. Like I pay very close attention to him. The way a casual fan wouldn't be able to see him. So, you know, grateful for my job giving me the opportunity, like seeing basketball outside of just, you know, the NBA. So watch him. Yearly playoffs are this weekend. So I'll be seeing more of him. See how he plays in, you know, clutch situations, things like that, on a bigger stage. So will he go number one? He possibly could due to the coaching on the Suns team. But do I think he should? No. The player from Arizona, that boy is a bad man. He should definitely go number one. He should definitely go number one. But with the influence that the coaches have on the Suns and then Vlade Divac being one of the presidents of basketball operation for the Sun, for the Kings, he's not going. Luka Doncic isn't falling past two. So, and we've seen, you know, last time a player was drafted so high, number two, Darko Milicic. Worked out, I guess, for the beginning because the Pistons won a chip. And then after that, he was a no-show. So, hey, I don't know. I'm just saying, from that perspective, I don't think Luka is that great to be in the top two, but I don't think he'll drop that far. So Knicks, they get the eighth seed. I mean, they get the ninth overall pick. So that's cool. I'm trying to speak that into existence. The eighth seed. You know, I need the Knicks in the playoffs. So I'm saying seeds, but excuse me. So they get the ninth pick. In a mock draft, they have us either taking Colin Sexton or Trae Young. Now, neither one of those players, I feel, is a franchise-chasing player. Like, we already have guards. We just drafted Ntilikina. So we have guards, not score first guards, but I honestly think if Michael Porter Jr. slips that far, or Wendell Carter, you could take him for, you know, insurance for KP, since he might not play next season. So Wendell Carter is a good player who'll be on the boards, get rebounds, can score on the offensive glass. And Michael Porter Jr. was supposed to be number one overall pick until that back injury. So I think, you know, with the right care and, you know, the way if he's taken care of the right way, he should be able to come and make an immediate impact. Because the Knicks can't miss on any more picks. We missed Dennis Smith Jr. We could have drafted Donovan Mitchell. We could have drafted Kyle Kuzma. We could have drafted a lot of players. But we were taking the L on that one. So I can't have the Knicks taking any more L's. No more L's. I'm done with the L's, okay? All right, Knicks. Get this draft right. Double check. Triple check. Make sure it's all in the green when you draft this player. So, yeah, a lot of mock drafts have us getting Colin Sexton. The boy did his thing at Alabama. He's a tough, gritty point guard, very fast, just small. That's the only negative. Trae Young, getting comparisons to Steph Curry, handle and his shooting range. Definitely was getting players involved. So I don't see the huge negative on their games is just size. Because the boys can hoop. They will come to the Garden and show out if they get selected. Do I think we need more guards? No. I don't think so. I think this free agency is very guard heavy. So grab your guard. If we can grab a small forward, then I say, oh yeah, okay, go for the guards. But free agency is after the draft. So, you know, I look forward to seeing what the Knicks come up with. But yeah, as far as Luka and the player from Arizona, yeah, it's interchangeable. You can go 1-2. But I, in my own opinion, I like the kid from Arizona. He's going to hoop. He's going to play crazy. He's a franchise player. He's someone who could come in. You can interchange him right then and insert him into your start lineup, into your rotations, anything, and he'll change the look of your team. So, you know, it's kind of a win-win because Luka Doncic is a more polished Ricky Rubio. He can score, he can get to the rack, he can get your other players involved, which is what they teach in EuroLeague, but it's very more polished. He's 6'9", I almost forgot that key detail. So he can move like a guard, but he's the size of Magic Johnson. And we see that's worked before. So, you know, I'm just, you know, keeping tabs on everybody, seeing what the Knicks are working on, seeing these top prospects. So, I mean, we'll see. I'm looking forward to it. But, you know, these playoffs are still going on. The King is down 0-2 to the Celtics. So we'll see Saturday if he can rally the troops, get this series, you know, at least a 2-1. We'll see if the Celtics will be able to steal one on the road. This team has been fantastic. So the last road game that they won was in Philly, and that crowd is bonkers. But you know, it's the same way LeBron James in his bad game 2, he will be in his bad game 3. So Celtics gonna have to play flawless in order to get another outstanding win, because we saw this in the Milwaukee series, went up 2-0, did their thing. But you know, I look forward to that series. Look forward to the Rockets playing on the road, seeing if they can steal one, because they lost home court advantage. Warriors came in, spanked them up. So we'll see if the Rockets can respond. They already gave them one piece, tied the series. We'll see if they can follow up with the haymaker to take a 2-1 lead. But, you know, this was a dope week for sports. Dope week for sports. So we'll have more on, you know, NBA playoffs. My next episode, I want to talk about sports betting and how that just changes the whole game across the sports nation, NBA, MLB, NFL, NHL. So I'm probably gonna have some lawyers, you know, come talk to me about that, you know, and enlighten me, because I love learning new things. So, you know, we'll have some lawyers come in, talk about that, and, you know, just let us know what's going on in that realm, and see how that just bolsters anything regarding sports and sports betting. But, you know, it's a dope show. I appreciate you guys so much. Listen, catch any episode, any time of Shoot the J podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, SoundCloud, wherever. Follow my Facebook, follow my Instagram, 2J's and Shoot the J podcast. We appreciate you guys for listening. Until next time, see you later. This is John Jenkins.